Greg Gumbel, do you think it's a long way from Shreveport and the finalist judging portion of the Miss USA pageant back in 1997?
You have a really dangerous memory. You know that?
Buddy, that was hard work. I mean, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Michael Andretti and you and I.
It was a really difficult time of life. I just got flying back and forth on Trump's plane was probably the worst part of it.
Frederick Fekai and Madonna's best friend Ingrid Casares, and it was a little bit too much of a jet set for me.
Well, I suppose you're right. It would take some getting used to, and you'd have to block out a whole portion of your life to be able to do that. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and I just thought this would be a wonderful opportunity because you always have to play, if you will, well, most of the time, the straight man to all of these so-called personalities, Greg. But it's really fun to get your opinion on things. The first one being the most obvious to me. Howie Long talked to us about it last week. Here he is.
Not respect. Just not a topic of conversation where it's not. You know, when I look at a quarterback, I look at a quarterback. I don't care if he's African-American, white, or whatever. I think we're beyond that. I think we're close to that with head coaches. That's
what he said last week before what actually happened, where we're facing the guarantee that an African-American coach will win the Super Bowl. Tell us what it means to you, knowing what you've had to do over your career rising in this profession.
Well, Howie's point is well taken, and especially now that I think that people who may not have given it any thought before are really actively or passively going to have to consider the fact that it is now shown that an African-American coach can actually do the job in much the same way as a quarterback at one point or another had to show that he could do the job. You know, whether it was James Harris back quarterbacking the Rams or whether it's Doug Williams in the Super Bowl, you know, the fact of the matter is that these things at one time were thought not to be possible. And now that they are, I think we can all accept it as a part of life and move on from there.
It's interesting also because I have a respect for as really the upper class of leaders for almost all of the African-American coaches. I just think that most of them are truly man among men. They understand people. They understand. They don't look at race as any kind of issue. But there is a particular kind of serenity that a Tony Dungy has, and a very close, not the same, but a very similar kind of serenity with Lovie Smith. How do you compare?
I think the others too. And you know, especially in the early stages, it's kind of like when Jackie Robinson first broke into baseball. You know, I think that Branch Rickey and several other people who were pushing behind that actually happening knew that the first one had better be really good. You know, he'd better know what he's doing.
He had to be good.
And absolutely, it has to put a good face on it, or else he's going to take the plunge for everybody else. You know, there are going to be some bad African-American coaches. I'm sure there are around the country. There are some that have been denied jobs probably for that very reason. But the first ones to get there, you know, I don't think that they can, you know, that they could afford or that society could afford them to just happen to have come along and dropped into the right position at the right time. You know, Tony, you might say that a little bit about Lovie Smith, although he had proven his worth as an assistant for a while before becoming a head coach, and now he is obviously molded the Bears into quite a football team. Tony Dungy, people have known that about Tony for years, and as you say, not only is he a terrific football man, he is a great human being. He is a terrifically nice person.
And speaking of terrific people, how we measure them, the defining moments are always important. But before we get to the defining moment dialogue about Peyton Manning, what about the defining moment a year ago when Tony Dungy at the podium at the memorial service for his son looked at the owner of the Tampa Bay Bucks who had fired him, who had, some would say, had treated his family not in the best way, and Tony thanked him sincerely, truly sincerely, for sitting with his son, who is now dead, and encouraging him and making him feel part of it. And it just, that to me is a defining moment for Tony Dungy, just as the halftime speech when he looked around the room and said, you know, we were down by more than this and almost won, you know, just last year. If we score on this first drive, we're only down by a touchdown. He tapped in at the right moment, at the right time, to their core belief they could win. They could beat this mythical team that had defeated them, supposedly, in all these other difficult games.
Sure. You know, Nick, there are people, if they are sane, rational thinkers, know when it's time to go, when a situation isn't right. Look, is there anybody who doesn't think that Tony Dungy is better off now than he was back then? You know, the whole instance of being fired probably hurt at the moment, but in the long run, who has it helped? It sure as heck has helped Tony Dungy. And you know, Tony's probably not the kind to harbor ill will towards someone if it's not rational. You know, if they felt it was time for a change, and they handled it in what we would consider a gentlemanly manner. You know, there are good ways and bad ways to do things, as you well know. You know, there are players who are called into a coach's office and talked to and given every opportunity to move on while being told that they can't continue with this organization. And then there are those guys who find out about it when they turn on ESPN on TV. So there are good ways and bad ways to do things, and people like Tony Dungy appreciate that. And as I said, he's just a terrific human being, but that is very much like him to be able to pay a credit to someone sitting there. And look, Tony had every reason in the world to be grateful, because here was someone showing up to pay homage to his son.
And I believe that fact that their team felt last season was stolen from them is a very powerful, unspoken contributor to their level of intensity, their level of unity this year. Even so, I think the game's going to be a very, very close one.
Yeah, you know, the thing about the first of all, you know, aside from the game, coaches set the tone for their players, or they should. And if a player doesn't take his cue from his coach, then there's either something wrong with the player or something wrong with the coach. And I think you find that there's something wrong with the coach if all of a sudden more and more players are not taking their cue from him. But a proven leader like Tony Dungy, you'd be crazy not to follow him in the way he wants to do things, because you know it's the right way to do it.
And he keeps growing. Now, let's contrast that with a guy that is in the top handful of coaches of all time, Bill Belichick. And the curious way, after the game, he gave such a heartfelt hug to Tony Dungy, and then very clearly understood and perceived that Peyton Manning was right there, and yet sort of pushed through him like he was, you know, a ball boy.
Yeah, you know, Nick, I would love to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that maybe in all the hubbub and everything, he really didn't recognize or was thinking at the time. Although he is such an aware coach, I don't know how he couldn't. I don't know what was going through his mind, but Bill obviously is not known for being the most outgoing and the most friendly guy who's ever walked the sidelines in the National Football League. So I haven't heard him explain it. I haven't heard him talk about it. So I really don't know. But it was distressing to see, particularly because anybody who knows Peyton Manning knows that he is just a class act from top to bottom.
And Peyton patted him anyway. And you look at Bill Belichick, just like Tony Dungy. He was let go at Cleveland. He didn't have the whole mix together. And then in the right situation, just like Tony Dungy, he's built what many would consider as much of a dynasty as you can have in this era. Final thoughts for you on this game in our last 30 seconds, my friend.
Okay.
What are your final thoughts on who right now? Right now, babe. Unless you can stick around,
I
figured you're a busy man.
Hey, listen, you know that football teams aren't the most forthcoming as far as injuries are concerned. So I really don't know how good Peyton Manning's thumb is and whether or not he'll be in tip-top shape. If he is, I think the Indianapolis Colts win the Super Bowl because you just get the feeling it's his time, you know? There are players who are born to be in a place at a certain time, and I think that's Peyton Manning this year.
Well, thanks for being with us at this time, Greg. You're a wonderful first-class person. We appreciate the work you do, and hopefully we'll see you in a few weeks
on the
show.
My pleasure, bud. Thanks much.
Thank you, sir. Greg Gumbel, when we come back, USA Today's Larry Weissman on the Super Bowl and more, than Jim Beattie on baseball, and our friend Luke Jensen on the Aussie Open. Stay with us.